Kayana Agai Kaiflutan. Thank you, Lord, for coming. As we were singing this song that Chris led us earlier, Holy, Holy, if you read the history, a little bit of the history of when Carlson first came, that's one of the songs he was teaching our people when he came in many years ago. But I'm happy that the crew is here to help us and to extend the gospel through different means and the gifts that you have. It's always a blessing to have. So we appreciate that, you coming from various different places. You know, I always thought I was using the King James Version, but when I looked at my phone, I see it's at Acts 11 ESV. So I thought it was a King James, but I love the King James. But I wanted to let you know that. So it might be a little bit different than what you're used to reading in a different version, because my wife and I read and compare whatever verses there might be. So we don't argue, but we just made an agreement and it comes to fruition because of the gifts that God gives us. I'm reading from Acts 11, 1 through 18. There are some Bibles in front of you if you're not familiar or would like to follow along. Now the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest unto the men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter began and expounded the matter unto them in order, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet, coming down from the heaven by four corners. And it came even unto me, upon which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw the four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and birds of the heaven. And I heard also a voice saying unto me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean had entered into my mouth, but a voice entered the second time out of heaven. What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, and all were drawn up again unto heaven. And behold, forthwith three men stood before the house in which we were, having been sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, and made no distinction. And these six brethren also accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel standing on his house, and saying, Send to Joppa, and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall speak unto thee words, whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thine house. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, even as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but he also baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then God gave unto them like gift, as he did unto us, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I would withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. we thank you for speaking to us through your word, through your people, through your creation. We ask, Lord, now that you would take this place and seal it off, help us to hear your voice through your word, through your spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sometimes it's really hard to listen when you have a lot on your mind or a lot on your heart. It's hard to listen. I got a tip that when you're in an argument with somebody, that's also pretty hard to listen. It's hard to be mad at somebody when, or it's hard to keep arguing when your hands are like this. I dare you to try it. Like, next time you're in an argument, and you're just mad as everything, then you just kind of hold the tension here, like this. Just try to open your hands. It's like, just try it right now. Go ahead, put your hands up. Just makes me want to breathe. Lately, my prayer life, there's been a lot of this. And there hasn't been enough this. The passage that Henry read, thank you, Henry, is a summary of Acts chapter 10. So if you want to dig deeper into what Henry read, and what I'll be sharing about this morning, read Acts chapter 10, because it's a longer version of the same story. And Peter is telling the church in Jerusalem what happened. And that story was laid out in Acts chapter 10. How do we keep going when we keep losing people? We start to live like this. We start to wonder, man, who's going to die next? For those of you who are visiting, we've lost two people recently, two younger men. And we've had a lot of loss in our community the last several years. And sometimes it just feels like this. Another person passes away. We're dealing with a lot of pain and tragedy. Feel like tempted to give up sometimes, to stop reaching out. We have a lot of depression and a lot of people wrestling with alcohol, and that's a lethal combination, as we've seen many times. And it's easy to think, man, this problem, this pattern, it's bigger than any one of us. And what can we do to change it? The problem seems too big. Well, as we're reading God's word, as I was reading this week, I was trying to put myself in Peter's shoes. Peter had walked his whole ministry with Jesus, that 3-year period, only to see Jesus betrayed by one of their close friends, Judas, and then to see him stripped naked and beaten and crucified publicly like a murderer, like a criminal. Like he'd done something really, really wrong, when all he had done was, you know, raise people who couldn't walk, heal them, give blind people their sight, feed the hungry, stop a woman's bleeding, forgive people, reach out to those who are lost and had no hope, love people that no one else loved, forgive people, walk on water. Jesus did all these incredible things. He was a blessing, and yet he was killed. Probably took the wind out of their sails. probably left him feeling lost and confused and unsure of how to move forward. Well, he rose and he said, I'm going to send you my spirit. And sure enough, 50 days after he ascended into heaven, there was Pentecost. And Peter received the Holy Spirit along with the other disciples. And they were filled with that same powerful spirit that was in Christ. And they went around, they healed people. They pointed people to Jesus. Christ healed people through them. They pointed people to Jesus. And they shared good news. They raised people who couldn't walk. They took care of the poor. And all these lost people found new life in Christ. They found hope. And people were joining the church in droves. A lot of people were coming to know the Lord. But there was backlash. And there were still struggles. Not everything was fun and roses. There were people coming after them. And one of the really good people who was helping care for widows and elders and people in need by feeding them, Stephen, he was stoned publicly because of his testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. He wasn't killed for a violent crime or doing anything wrong. He was killed because he said Jesus rose from the dead with conviction. And he was living out the calling, the mission that God had put before him. And so, to think about what it would have been like to be Peter, seeing these people who follow Jesus' instructions, man, they're getting killed. They're getting imprisoned. I'm not sure if I want to stay on this path. I'm not sure if I want to keep going like this. And yet he continued. God gave Peter a vision. He said, see this sheet coming down from heaven? It had all these different kinds of animals on there that he normally wouldn't eat because he was Jewish. His whole life he hadn't been able to eat bacon. Poor. Now the Lord showed him all these animals, including pigs, I think. He said, kill and eat. God gave him the same vision three times. With Peter, that's a theme, right? He denied Christ three times. Three times after Jesus rose, he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Now God gives Peter the same vision three times coming down from heaven. And this vision confirms Jesus' words in Mark 7, that it's not what enters a person that makes them unclean, but what comes out of their mouth. Not what you put in your mouth. So Jesus said, yes, in Leviticus 11, in the Old Testament law, there were foods that you weren't supposed to eat to show that you were a follower of God. No longer. No longer do you need to monitor which animals you eat or don't eat. Because the mark of a follower of God is if they have the Spirit of Christ in them. If they know the Lord. If they follow Jesus, if they believe in Christ and follow him. But God gives it to him through a vision that creates an opening in his heart to go and visit a Gentile, a Roman soldier. God pulled the most unlikely people into the life of the church. There were two groups responsible. Directly responsible, physically responsible for Jesus being crucified, even though all of us share responsibility because of our sin made Christ's death necessary. But it was the Jewish leaders and the Roman government, Roman soldiers. Paul has already seen the Lord, and he's went from persecuting Christians as a Jewish leader to proclaiming a crucified and risen Christ. He's joined the church. And that must have been very uncomfortable for the Christians like Peter. But now God wants Peter to go reach out to a Roman centurion. He was a higher-up Roman soldier. Can you imagine what that must have been like for Peter? Man, God, don't you know those guys are on the other team? Those are the people who crucified you. He's a not just a common soldier, he's a like a sergeant. He oversees 100 men. He has a good paycheck. He's not going to listen to us. He has no reason to listen to me. The Jews, they were conquered by the Romans. The Romans occupied their land and ruled over it and collected taxes from them. A lowly Jew is going to tell a Roman soldier, going to his house to tell him about Jesus? Sounds dangerous, or at least like a waste of time. So I don't know how you're feeling this morning. Maybe you feel discouraged. Maybe you feel like it's hard to know what to do next. This is the word from the Lord that I have to share. Stay open to the Holy Spirit. Keep your hands open to the Lord, because God has work to do through you today. This week, God has work to do through you. God is unfolding his kingdom, and Christ is coming. Christ is going to return. He has promised us this. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but I am with you always, even until the end of the age. We read in Acts, these believers lived with an urgency because they were eagerly expecting Christ to return. And Christ has instructed us to do the same. We feel like there's an inevitable weight of more tragedy and more loss. We also have to carry with us the inevitable weight that Christ is coming. That Christ has promised to come and make all things new. And he told us, share the good news. Don't withhold your love. Don't hesitate to feed the hungry. Don't hesitate to help your neighbor. Don't hesitate to continue to worship. Continue to do the things I've instructed you to do. Continue to double down in seeking God and reading his word. Because if we do this, we'll live into the life of the Spirit. It wasn't only Peter that God gave the vision to. God sent an angel to Cornelius. He was working both sides to create that meeting for Cornelius' whole household to receive the Lord. Cornelius, his life looked pretty good on paper. He had money. He had power. He was a member of the conquering elite, but he didn't know Christ. He was a good man. It says he helped the poor. He feared God, but he didn't know Christ. And so, like Peter, we're called to continue to share the good news about Jesus. And to know that we aren't working alone, because Christ is working in people's lives and hearts. I know when somebody is especially going through hardship, it can be intimidating to go and reach out to them. Some people have been in a downward spiral for a very long time, and they're struggling. And it seems like going to talk to them isn't going to make a difference, man. They've been living like that for years and years and years. But you never know if God's sending them an angel. The angel, did you notice what he said to Cornelius? He said, go and summon Peter and listen to what he has to say. Go and summon Peter and listen to what he has to say. God might be speaking to somebody and say, you know what? Someone's going to come see you this week. Listen to what they have to say. That person might be you. The Holy Spirit is working in this village. God is not done with us. Holy Spirit is working among us. and will work through you if you keep your hands open. So continue to pray, continue to seek the Lord, and be eager to listen to him. I have, I bought some Amazon Basics notebooks, right? There's nothing like a huge corporation printing notebooks to make you ready for a very personal experience with Jesus. But I believe God will speak to you if you ask him to. And for that reason, some of you might be forgetful like I am. For that reason, I bought a bunch of notebooks with the intention and the hope and prayer that some of you will take them home. And as you read the Bible, and as you pray, and as you study, and as God speaks to you, that you'll write prayers in this notebook, that you'll write things that God is speaking to you in the notebook. Maybe you'll bring it to Bible study, maybe you'll bring it to church. And if God speaks to you, it can be a prayer journal. It could be a place where you write questions you have for God. It's just a simple notebook. But my hope is that it won't be like a place to play tic-tac-toe while I'm preaching next month. But that you'll actually use it for his purpose. But there are several in the back. And don't feel an obligation to take one unless you think you'll use it for that purpose. But that's what they're there for. So on your way out, grab a notebook if you'd like to. And we're going to continue to seek the Lord together. I'm glad that you're all here. We're going to keep praising God. The highlight of my week was on Friday night at Jovina and Alan's house. Some people gathered, and we just worshiped God. We didn't have any instruments. We didn't always start the song on the right pitch. But none of that matters, you know? We were just there to worship God. In our sadness, in our pain, we're together worshiping the Lord. And that's what we do. In the good times and the hard times, we keep praising, we keep serving, we keep seeking, and expecting Christ to come. Let us pray. Lord, we know that our story is for your glory. And the story of Euclid is still being written, but there are no surprises for you in it. Lord, we long for you to come and make all things new and to end the cycles of death and sickness that plague us, cycles of sin and sorrow. Lord, we know you've broken into history. The resurrection of Christ changed the pattern that has inflicted humanity since the beginning, since the garden. And we ask that you would help us to take part in proclaiming your victory with our words and our actions, by loving people with simple gifts and simple words, as we're led by your Spirit with open hands. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.